Hello and welcome to In The Game, Qatar's first sport podcast. Today, as always, it's a special, special day. And for so many reasons, I'm so nervous today, Nick, and I'm going to introduce you, but I'm so nervous today because your story has just inspired me. You're a young man and your story inspired everything what I love about life. And there was the downside, there was the upside, there was a determination, there was... Anyway, everybody, I'm sorry. Everybody, Nick Humphreys. Anybody doesn't know Nick Humphreys, he's an entrepreneur and a sportsman, and he has this wonderful fitness app called Train Effective. It's incredible. Just go and download the app, go on TikTok, listen to him on there. It's amazing. Nick, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Steve and everyone, hello. Pleased to be here.
Oh dear, Nick, I'm so chuffed. And I got to say that I've messed up a couple of times with these interviews with you, and I really do apologize. But you have got an incredible story, and I'm just hoping today that you can share a glimpse of this with us today and where it first began with you in your journey, where you just got involved in sports, even going back all the way to when you was a young child.
Yeah, so I guess right from the get-go, I can just give some context to people about what Train Effective is. Train Effective is a football training app. We teach people through our app how to learn and develop skills football, both physically, mentally, and tactically. We have around 100,000 players. We're about to reach that 100,000 player milestone. Through our app, we're based in London. We have guys like Rio Ferdinand, Manchester United legend, who has his own mentality course on the app. We've worked with a range of different Premier League experts who give tactical analysis, different mentality classes, and a lot of UEFA licensed coaches that do the drills and whatnot. And basically what it is, it's like a world-class sports academy in your pocket. From someone like me, I'll get into the story in a second. Someone that was like me that didn't have access to the best coaching or resources, I always wanted to create a place where we could democratize elite coaching to the masses. But yeah, the journey of how we've got here so far, it's definitely be a journey. So yeah, I'm happy to share that.
Yeah, please, because we will go on to Train Effective, but I think the whole of this story, if you don't tell it all, you just won't appreciate as much as the journey that you've come on. So definitely. Please, just give us an insight.
So it all started with just me as a kid growing up in Australia. I have always had two passions. The first being my love for sports or football or soccer down under, as we'd say. And my love for entrepreneurship as well. So ever since I was, 8, 9 years old, I do two things in my life. One, I'd be playing soccer with my friends at school on the weekends. And I'd be going to school, obviously. And what I'd also be doing is doing stuff like car washes around the block in summer. I'd go around to people's houses, washing their cars. I'd copy CDs of albums and things like that and sell them for a few dollars to people in school. I'll do the whole like fizzy drink thing. I'd bring cans of soda to school and do that kind of stuff. I just love that. That was always in my blood, in my nature. But I also really love playing sports and football. So as I kind of grew up, I never saw football as something I could pursue as a career. It was something that I loved doing, loved playing, but it was just something I was passionate about. Never thought I had ambitions of playing professionally or anything like that. That was until about I was 15 years old. My dad was an expat, and we moved to Budapest, Hungary, all the way from Australia. And that was sort of my first taste in European culture and experience. And everything in Budapest was different. You know, the food was saltier, the weather was way colder. The people were way different as well. But as I started training with a local team there, I saw just like how passionate players were there about football. I saw how football was really integrated into the way of life. And that really inspired me At the same time, I was reading a self-help book. It was called The Magic of Thinking Big. And I would read these kind of books just for motivation to help me with like business things I was doing on the side. But one day I picked it up and I got really inspired by a couple of sentences in there. But theoretically, I learned that you could achieve your dreams with hard work and belief and persistence and all this kind of, you know, stuff you learn in a self-help book. And I really thought at that time when I was, yeah, again, 15, 16, you know, what do I really want to be when I grow up? What do I really dream of doing? And I said to myself, well, I would love to play football for a living. But at the time I had like no connections. I was just in terms of ability, I was very average. I was sort of your typical Sunday league player. And yeah, there were just millions and millions of players better than me that are already playing in these professional top academies all over in Europe and the world. But I said, you know what? I got belief and drive. So I'm just going to put my mind to this. I'm going to start training. So basically what happened over the next few weeks, I started creating training schedules. I started sort of going down to the field before the school bus came and picked me up. I did different drills I could find. Running drills, ball work drills, whatever I could do. I just go down to the field and just do them. And I slowly started getting a bit better. And I was training at this time about 5-6 hours a week. And yeah, slowly I was getting better. At the same time, around about the same time, I picked up another book called Outliers. And Steve, I don't know if you've read Outliers, but it's a book by Malcolm Gladwell. Very good book about success, but there's one thing in there where Malcolm Gladwell talks about the 10,000 hour rule. And theoretically, if no one knows what the 10,000 hour rule is, it's basically to achieve, to become world-class in your field, you need to have 10,000 hours of dedicated practice or play towards your craft. So if you want to be a grandmaster or world-class chess player, world-class footballer, world-class tennis player, you need to dedicate 10,000 hours of practice. So I took this rule to heart and said, okay, what I'm going to start doing is start training 20 hours a week. So I went from training 6 hours to 20 hours and just started dedicating myself to this. Rain, wind, sunshine, snow, I just started training. Before school, after school, I mean, I was now like 16, 17 at the time, so like I had to focus on exams as well. But I was really motivated on becoming a footballer. So just training. Eventually, I got better and earned my first trial at AFC Wimbledon, which is a professional team in England with a lot of history. Flew to England for that. And basically, long story short of that is like I emailed hundreds of coaches. Okay, so just trying to promote myself, telling this story I'm saying now at this point to all these coaches in England and wherever I could find emails, basically. But basically, yeah, those one or two people that replied. One of them was the AFC Wimbledon academy manager. He said, "Come over." I did. A couple of training sessions later, he said, "Nick, you're not good enough." He sat me down, said, "Look, Nick, you need to work on these things. You need to work on these things." And just like the 10,000 hour rule, I was like, okay, I've only probably done a few thousand hours of practice. So what I'm going to need to do is basically take the list of the things that Mark, the academy manager, said. I'm going to divide them into strengths and weaknesses. And I'm going to make my strengths better. And I'm going to make my weaknesses to a level where I can at least compete at a professional level. So some good things I had were like speed and technique and things like that. But some weak things were like my weak foot, my strength and some things like that. So I flew back into Budapest and just started training harder, training more focused, and got more trials, I'm not going to go into the full story because I think it's going to just bore people. And maybe I'll write a book about it one day. Who knows? Maybe
it's going to be a book without a shadow of a doubt. It's okay. Going to be a book.
Yeah. So just to speed things up a bit, like, cause I could go on and on about this, basically, I did more trials. I kept training, did my 20 hours a week, kept going through it, flew back for more trials, got rejected again at different clubs and different open tryouts and things. But I kept persisting, kept basically making my strengths like world class and making my weaknesses my strengths, kept improving, persisting. And about 2 years after I made the decision of wanting to become a professional, I got a trial at a second division club in Hungary, and had probably the best trial of my life, had a really good week of training with the first team of a second division club, played a game in a preseason friendly for that club, scored a goal, did really well. And that's how I got offered a contract to play professionally in Hungary. And so basically in the space of 2 years, I went from pretty average Sunday league type player, but I dedicated myself for 2 years straight, training, learning about how to get over rejection, until I got to this place where, okay, I got offered a contract to play professionally and compete at this professional level. And that's sort of the first part of my journey.
It's an amazing journey. And then you went on to get trials with Australia. That must have been a huge thing for you.
Yes, Steve. So what I was doing whilst I was training and what I learned from sort of doing businesses and being an entrepreneur on the side is I learned about cold calling and cold emailing and and getting as many emails and phone numbers as you can. And that's what I did. I sort of got all these phone numbers, all these emails together until I got like hundreds of them, literally put them in like a spreadsheet or a document somewhere and contacted people one by one. That's how I got many of these trials and opportunities. But I basically had a highlight video that was online on YouTube, it was actually really like I had video editing skills. I knew how to put a good video together, and I sent this video out to many people. But one of them was a manager, someone who did the operations for the Australian national team, for their under 17s and under 20s program. And that guy basically forwarded that video on to the head coach, and the head coach invited me to have a tryout with the team. Highlight video, the head coach of the Australian national team saw it, the youth national team, a guy named Jan Rysilen and Gary Van Egmond, and they invited me to the national team for the training camp.
And what was that? That must have been absolutely scary for one. But were you ready for it then? Were you kind of, was it exciting? It must have been absolutely, your parents must have been ecstatic.
Yeah, like parents, I mean, I don't really come from a sports family. Like I don't have any family that played sports at a really high level or anything like that. And no one in my family played football. So like, I don't think they really understood how big of an opportunity it was. Definitely my friends knew. But yeah, this is sort of what dreams were made of. I always dreamed of like sort of launching myself in an environment where you'd have the kits laid out for you and the best balls and the best pitches. And when I went to the Australian Institute of Sport, which is where the national team were based at the time, I sort of walked in and like I was like, wow, this is shook hands with the coaches and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, I'm really in this sort of world-class elite performance environment here. And this is something that a couple of years earlier was just like seriously unthinkable. It was because I was nowhere near this level.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was sort of like definitely a moment. It's like, wow, hard work, patience, practice, it can get you to this. So.
And what exactly happened after that? So you went through all that persistence. What happened after that? What, how did the trials go? How did everything turn out? You cut off for a bit. I just asked, with all the trials and tribulations, how did that all turn out? You were so persistent and you got this trial. What happened? What happened after that?
So basically what happened is I got a contract to, so I got offers to America, for scholarships and things like that. I had obviously this experience with the national team. Didn't end up getting actually selected. They were selecting players to go to the World Cup at that time. So I didn't get selected for that, but just the experience, like, that was enough in itself for me. But yeah, then just fast forward, got offered a contract in Hungary, didn't take it because it was just a bit dodgy. I had someone working on my behalf at that time, and it was just a bit dodgy, sort of the conditions and stuff, as is with many of these Eastern European teams. So what I ended up doing is actually I ended up moving to Amsterdam. Ended up playing semi-professionally in Amsterdam, and realized that there was a whole... Now this is sort of where the entrepreneurship stuff comes in. I've been doing all these different businesses to sort of support myself on the side, and I'd saved enough money to go sort of live on my own and move to Amsterdam. So I moved to Amsterdam, started playing semi-professionally there, and when I thought about, like, okay, what is it that I really want to work on? I'd done all these different sort of projects and businesses in the past. I'd done like social networks, I'd done drop shipping businesses, I'd done different things like that. But I never really felt 100% fulfilled in what I was doing, because I was it was like 98% passion for those projects and not 100%. So I really sort of took the time out and thought, like, okay, what am I really passionate about? And what do I see could make a difference in the world? So I started with that, and I thought, okay, the whole story of the last couple of years, I think the way I trained myself, the way I coupled all these drills together and made workouts, and the amount of videos I watched or documentaries I watched or coaches that I talked to that gave me so much advice and knowledge, this was really stuff that you can consider could only be, it's really hard to create, it's really hard to get together, and it's just really hard to organize yourself. So I thought, okay, surely there's other players like me that want to learn and improve, and maybe become professionals. Maybe they just want to get in the starting 11 of their team. So, okay, what if there was a resource and a platform for all these players to come on, get access to the best drills, the best content, and really have this community of other people that are chasing their goals in a dream. And that's basically how Train Effective was born. I started a very basic website just to prove or just sort of test if anyone would actually use this thing. Got it together. And people, to my surprise, like, just started signing up for it. And that's sort of how it was born.
But you were doing the thing with it is, and this is what I like about your story and how it's publicized, is it, you had this 100-day challenge that you were opening your soul to everybody. You were showing people exactly what you were going to try and do within those 100 days. And you had Train Effective that would, through all of your stuff that you were learning and taking so many negatives, that you were putting all this stuff together to help others, right? And the kind of thing that I want to ask you now is what was it like with that 100-day challenge? And when did you realize that within that time that Train Effective was going to, you were going to just become an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So where do I start here? Because it's sort of, so I started Train Effective, was playing semi-professionally in Amsterdam, moved to Switzerland. I really wanted experience in working for corporate, just to sort of, because I've been supporting myself with all these businesses and stuff on the side. So I just really wanted to see how I do in a corporate environment, just learn. So I moved to Switzerland, started working for UBS in Switzerland, lived in Zurich, was playing for a high level team there as well. And then I was sort of, you know, obviously earning good money. I had Train Effective there, which I was slowly building, just sort of testing the waters with it. I didn't actually know at the time that this was going to be like a full-time thing. I just thought it was like a hobby project, honestly. But I was like, okay, like, I'm at this job, I'm playing at this level, but what I'd love to do is do a 100-day challenge where I could actually showcase in video format the daily process of trying to become a professional footballer. So the training, the diet, the going on trials, the sort of traveling around, the talking to coaches. I really wanted to document that in a video format through a vlog style thing, and just take everyone along on this journey, because I really feel like it could help a lot of people. I also felt like I could use Train Effective in a natural way as I did that journey. So I was working at UBS. I quit that job and said, okay, I'm going to go full time on this Train Effective thing, because it's my passion. I really want to go all out. And I think there's really a long-term future with this thing. As I quit that job, I basically went straight away into doing this 100-day challenge. The views started out really slow on YouTube. I probably got like a couple of hundred views per vlog on that YouTube series. But I think about day 30 or 40, suddenly got like 10,000 views. And then a couple of videos later, like 100,000 views. And then the challenge within the football community, within young football community, just started sort of going viral. And because that started going viral, all the drills and the exercises and the training and the stuff I was talking about in those vlogs, it really helped Train Effective grow, because it was just a natural, Train Effective was just a natural part of my lifestyle at that time. Train Effective really grew. I ended up, the challenge went viral. I ended up getting scouted at someone working at Chelsea, and moved to London.
I saw that part, yeah. Where you laid your soul bare. You really did. I love watching the videos. How did you keep that determination going, Nick? Because I was feeling for you when I was watching the videos. I was feeling for you. How did you keep pushing forward? Was it easy? And how did you keep pushing forward? And who was your support mechanism? Who kept you going? Was it you, or was it your family? How did you get yourself over those things?
Well, like, first of all, I think throughout this whole story, it's just like, this is authentically and genuinely what I always wanted to do. It was a merging of like my passion for sports, my passion for football, my passion for like storytelling and sharing the journey. I think that's the most important thing, honestly.
Yeah.
And my passion for like for entrepreneurship. So combining these three things, I thought, okay, it's not about success or failure. It's really about showing the journey. I'm gonna do it for 100 days. I'm committed to 100 days. I gotta get out a video every single day. If I'm saying it to the world, this is gonna be 100 days. I can't just quit on the second day. So I just committed myself to that. And like I said, Steve, the first 30 or 40 days was really slow. Like no one really, not many people, just like a handful of people really watched it. But I stuck with it, persisted. And then, yeah, all of a sudden it just sort of blew up. And that was sort of all the validation I needed. So.
And I'm going to get on to Train Effective in a minute, and we're going to smash it with this. But I also want to look up and say, because there was a part that I must admit, there was emotion for me when you looked up and you said you realized that it wasn't the football, or that it wasn't your way forward anymore. It was thinking about the team that you'd built with Train Effective, and thinking that dream that you had about playing professional football, you had to discard it because you had more responsibilities, because you wanted to put back into that team of yours, and that they were relying on you and they were looking. That was amazing. And it was, and I take my hat off to you. It was incredible. That was an inspiration for me. With this, what is it like with your team now with Train Effective? And we're going to move on to Train Effective now. Mm. But that part of the video which I wanted to bring up, how much did it mean to you to have that team and you all supporting? And by all accounts, you were all living in one house, or one, you were all living in one place. What was that like?
Yeah, so after I did that 100-day challenge went viral. The business, or the startup of Train Effective, was starting to grow. And I said, okay, let's move to London to grow this thing. Because obviously London, probably the world's capital of football, but all the teams there, UK, I mean, there's no better place than that. So packed up my things, went there, and I brought about four or five guys and one girl with me, who had basically been either users of the Train Effective platform, or they'd been watching the 100-day challenge, or they'd be doing both. So I actually started working with these guys remotely online, and we all decided that, okay, this Train Effective thing, we really think it can get to the next level. So we had a guy from the US, a guy from Germany, a guy from who else? A guy from Hungary, a girl from Holland, and we basically all moved into the Train Effective house, as we call it now, which is basically like a converted warehouse, living, working space in North London, in an area called Barnet. And we all moved in there and decided to have a really like a full-on go at Train Effective. So that was in 2017, and that was crazy.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it's like Steve, we basically met a lot of us met each other for the first time in person just at the front doorstep of the house. So just before that, like we've been sort of, some of them been contributing for free and like as a volunteer, and we do calls and stuff, but like we've actually never met each other, a lot of us, until we got to the footsteps of the door and into the house. So yeah, that was kind of surreal, but I think that just sort of outlined how much passion and how much belief and how much people really, really saw this story growing. So yeah.
And now let's go full blown into Train Effective. It's like it's taking the world by storm. Let's just say it's gone global. It's going everywhere. And it's like, as you said, it's been through all of these lessons that you've learned over a period of time with people trying to help you out. And now you've gone into trying to help others now and trying to build others. And was that always your dream, or was it the entrepreneurship? Did you ever think about the entrepreneurship at the same time, or was it just to be able to help people to reach their dreams from a football perspective?
So I always knew that I'm going to be entrepreneurial. Like as a kid, I'm like, no, I'm not going to work in a big company or something like that. I'm going to have my own company. That's just sort of my where my natural talent and like DNA just sort of lies. Something I always wanted to do. So I knew I was going to do that, but I never thought it was going to be within football, because I always thought it was too niche. I always thought, yeah, it's a training app. Like what? Maybe like a couple of hundred people will use it, or yeah, like, but it's too niche. That's what I always thought. Until I really started, I got a bit older, got a bit more experience, and realized, well, actually, this is massive. Like football is the world's most played sport. It's the world's biggest religion. Hypothetically, if you look at the numbers, there's billions of people that are fans of football. There are like 400 million players that play football actively. This is the world's biggest sport. But how come Steve, there's training apps like Strava or Runkeeper or MyFitnessPal, for like running and cycling and things like that, but nothing for sports, like nothing for learning a sport like football. And that's what didn't exist at the time, or it existed, but not really well. Like it was kind of amateur, the alternatives back then. So we thought, no, like let's make like a real world-class app that we can bring to the world that's really, truly going to deliver value, and anyone, anywhere can use this and really feel elite and really feel like a world-class player.
Nick, that was no easy task, though, be honest. If you look back at your time and you think to yourself what you tried to take on to where you are today, that was no easy task to be able to get to where you are today. That was because that's a lot of work that's gone into that.
Oh, yeah, it's been years and years. And I never thought, I always thought to myself, look, in 6 months, we're going to be here, or 3 months, we're going to be here. We're set. Like, but it never, never panned out that way, Steve. And
nothing ever pans out that way, unless you're a lottery winner. But the key to this is it the one thing that I would say, let's start talking about some of your successes now, because it's one of the most professional applications I've ever seen. And it really is, it's super. And you're making a massive difference to, as you said, it could be potentially, the figures could be mind-boggling. But let's go through some of those figures. You've got 100,000 registered on your app today, correct?
Yeah, 100,000. Probably by the time this podcast is out, we're just a little below 100,000, but we're almost there. So probably when this goes live, it's probably at 100. So yeah.
And so that's one, and it's a paid app. I think it's not the most. It's not expensive at all, really.
Well, it's free and paid. So always, my original vision was this was to give something accessible to all, because we generally want to help players that can't afford it, might come from disadvantaged backgrounds, might be, I don't know, in Africa, and they just don't have, they just don't have access to this kind of stuff. We really wanted to give it to them. So we have a freemium model, just like Spotify, just like a lot of other successful apps out there. So we can give a free experience to those who really can't afford it, disadvantaged, maybe their parents don't want to buy them the premium version, whatever. So we give that to them at least. But yeah, we do have paid version as well. So
and I just want to, I don't know how to bring this in now. I'm going to bring it in. You've bootstrapped. I tell people what bootstrap means, okay? Because you've bootstrapped this from the very beginning.
It means living on rice and beans and ramen for years.
And it's just that blind belief, right? The blind belief.
Yeah, that's another whole story in itself, Steve. That's like a whole nother podcast, I guess. But yeah, we've been bootstrapped. I started Train Effective with my own savings that I had from working at the bank and stuff like that. And yeah, it's definitely not been easy, but I mean, there was always investors interested in things like that, but we never got an investor. We never got along so well with an investor where we felt like, yeah, this is a real match, and that investor believes the same things we do, and it just never, it never clicked. So yeah, we just kept bootstrapping.
That's the one thing with, and this is great information for startups or sports startups especially, is it sometimes it's difficult to give stuff away for this investment, right? So because you've worked so hard for it and you just don't want to get, and sometimes that's a downfall in, because they don't accept the money because they don't want to give part of their company away. And it hampers that business. But you it sounds like you just had the determination to see this through.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of startups out there. I've had friends involved as well, making different companies and things like that. I think you just need to be really careful in who you bring into your sort of inner circle, especially those that are bringing in money, because obviously they're going to expect a return on that. And I feel like if the expectations are not aligned in what the investor wants and what you want, it's probably gonna not work out in the long term. So but like I said, Steve, we never really sometimes you just feel that click with someone and that connection that, okay, this is a guy or the girl or the group of the VC or whatever that's really gonna help us to the next level or help them. But it just never worked out like that.
I keep on saying this. I love what you do, and everybody should love what you do. And listening to your story today, they've got to love you. It's like you've done amazing things. Now now I'm getting onto this exciting stuff. Your social media. It's like you've got 400,000 on TikTok, and how did you
almost
do
that? 500,000.
500,000. I remember talking to you. Yeah, I remember talking to you, Nick, and it was 400,000. That's, you broke that market, and now it's 500,000 nearly.
Yeah, we have about 500,000 almost on TikTok, which has grown crazy the last 12 months. I think January 2020, we had like 7 or 8,000 followers, I think. So you can just see in the space of just over a year, we've like 5,000%ed that. So that's crazy. Instagram is at around 100,000 followers or so. Social media, we have a really good girl in our team who, her name's Claire. She really is doing a really great job of that stuff. But it's always been at the core of everything we've done, using social media to promote Train Effective, to inspire sort of the next generation. And that's started ever since the 100-day challenge a few years ago. So we just sort of continue that.
And I know you took I had this wonderful joke lined up. Or not a joke, it was like, who's Rio Ferdinand? How did you get him involved? How did that all come about? How did you get Rio Ferdinand involved in this application? He must have believed in it.
Oh yeah. I mean, how did I get a trial at AFC Wimbledon or these other professional teams? I made lists of teams that I really wanted to contact, or coaches which I really felt might give me a shot. That was the same when I was looking at, okay, we really want to take Train Effective to the next level. Who are the sort of people we'd really want to work with to take things to the next level? And in my mind, I always thought, okay, it's got to be a legend athlete. So who's like the best legend to work with? Well, growing up, I always looked at Rio Ferdinand as someone that that was not just a world-class defender playing for Man United with the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo and, you know, David Beckham and whoever, Wayne Rooney and all these legends. I looked at him as he's not only just a staple in Manchester United, but he's also got the business acumen. And he had magazines at the time. He had different brand deals. He was really like a businessman and a footballer. And obviously, now that you heard my story, that's something I really aspire to be. It's like, wow, if he can do those things, I'd love to meet that guy one day. Like, I'm sure he'll see value in this story that we have with Train Effective. I basically emailed his manager. I just kept following. I didn't get a reply. And again, this is just sort of like the trials of years before that. Just no one replied, but I kept following up. And then the manager eventually replied, got a meeting, said what I wanted to do, and then eventually got a face-to-face with Rio himself. And then in that face-to-face, Rio basically came into the room. Rio's this huge, tall guy, like way bigger than I expected. He's like just bigger than you see on TV. But anyway, he came in and basically told him about my story, just like I'm telling you, Steve. And he really liked the story, really liked the journey. And within a minute or two of showing him the app, he said, right, how can I get involved? And yeah, that was that.
Amazing. I love that. I've done door to door for many, many years. I worked for a very good company called Cobra. And it was the determination. You had to knock 100 doors a day. If you didn't knock 100 doors a day, you weren't going to survive. It just wasn't going to happen for you. You just had to believe in the numbers. So your spirit, Nick, is unbelievable. And I want that Excel sheet, that's for sure, with all those numbers, because it is gold dust. But I know the hard work.
He was the top of the list, because there was no one who really fit that. I had a blog. I was writing about my experiences in a blog, like the 10 years prior. And like, I wrote a blog post about how I was really inspired by Rio Ferdinand, because he was a footballer at Man United and had these businesses going on. Like, wow, he's a multifaceted guy. When most athletes are just straight shooting one way, he was doing these other things. Like, wow, I aspire to be someone like him one day. And then 10 years later, actually, it's so surreal. Like, what goes around comes around.
good on you. Okay, there's another, there was something that I wanted to ask you. Okay, just recently we've done this big survey and we interviewed this very senior Qatari lady, absolutely wonderful lady, and she does some big investments. She invests in quite a few different companies. And what she looked up to this and said, she said, and really, she's like Forrest Gump. Okay, you know, when he used to put things into stuff, it would just turn into something magical. It would just go through the roof. Okay, this was the type of lady. And we said to her, what is a success? And she looked up and she said, I find the boss or the CEO of that company, and if they're laying their life down for that company, that's the company I want to invest in, because I don't think I'm going to lose my money with them. And the question to you is, are you one of those people, Nick?
Yeah. I mean, who else would quit their job at a big bank, move to London, and then move in with four or five other guys in a house, living and working together? I mean, if that I think that sums it up.
Eating rice, just and come on, just on touching that, because sometimes you do. I remember, and I shouldn't really say this on my podcast, but when I first came here 12 years ago, we didn't have the most easiest of times, and there were some times we couldn't even feed ourselves. And I used to do two things. The biggest one was I was always a chef, and so I would go out and do dinner parties so that I could either bring some food back, or I would be getting some money for doing the event, right? And the amount of times that it's funny you should say that you just have enough money to have rice, and sometimes, or you have some sauce to go with the rice. And that was, what sauce is going with the rice today? So it makes the person you are. And unless you go through those different things, then anything that you're going to work towards isn't worth it, because you need to know those memories and the stories that go with it. And that's what I knew that I was teeing one up for you there, because I know that you're that person and the stories and what I know about you. Honestly, congratulations.
I love that story, Steve. I love talking about, just the grit.
The grit, the kind of the determination, the kind of, and I know with you, it's like, because you do, when somebody's talking, and that was another thing about your videos. When there was people, they were being not very nice. They were sending messages that were just, listen, if you haven't got anything positive to say, just shut up. Why would you say something? Mm. Why would you give something detrimental to somebody that's going to ruin their day? Why? There's no point in that.
Yeah, look, I mean, we use social media, Train Effective, and myself have used social media as a platform to grow Train Effective. This is one of the reasons why we've been so successful bootstrapping, because we really figured out how to use social media really well and telling our story, telling the journey, and really inspiring the next generation to go and train and, you know, mentally improve themselves, physically improve themselves. But you always get 1% that are 1% of your audience or someone else's audience that is going to throw hate and going to express their opinions, which might come from a place which, it might not be the best thing, but that's just how it is. That's how it goes these days.
Yep.
How it goes.
You're an inspiration to me, young man. I tell you honestly, you are. I didn't know. I look, let's tell people we've been talking for a while now, and we're going to be doing stuff in Qatar, and we're going to be looking at the Middle East, because it's your app is that good. It's just got to get out in front of people. There's not investment that you're looking for. You're just looking for more people to be to introduce it to. And that's what I love about what you do. And when I first met you, I didn't know how to take you. And it was just until I started then researching a little bit about you. And then I just thought, my word, this is just an absolute joy. And I'm a parent. I've got four kids. I've got four grandchildren. I've got another one coming in July. Thanks God. What did your family think? How did they respond to you? How do they kind of, what's their feelings of what you've achieved?
I'm here in Europe, so my family is over in Australia. So I definitely spent I spent a lot of years away from family, living with family and living close to family. I spent a lot of years away now. But they know, all of them, they know my mom, my dad, brothers, they all know that sort of, you know, I have a dream I want to chase. I have a goal I want to achieve, and it's probably best be achieved here. So I think they support me a lot. And yeah, probably they're proud of me, I guess. But in my mind, I think we're just getting started, you know.
I think you are too. I think you are too. And I know that this has been a wonderful time, and we could literally talk for hours. I want to ask you one more thing for everybody that's out there that's got that dream. It's like, what would your message be to that person that has that dream and they want to fulfill? What message would you give them?
Message. I think this journey so far with myself and Train Effective is like, I've obviously invested a lot of my time, a lot of my life so far into this movement, into this dream, into, you know, all the way from trying to be, when I was 16, 15, wanting to become a professional to now. And I was saying before, like, in my head, it was always like, in 6 months or 12 months, I'm going to be at this place and I would have made it already. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm going to be good. And I'll have the rest of my life to do this other stuff or enjoy this other stuff. And it's never panned out like that. And I realize now, as I get older, like, it's probably never going to be like this sort of, you get over this mountain and life is set. So I feel like this is going to be, you only find happiness in the journey. Like, I'm truly happy in just this journey of building Train Effective, of growing as an individual, growing as a founder, as a CEO. And that's where my happiness is, rather than chasing a result. So if I could sum that up, it's basically, with your dream, with your goal, find happiness in the journey, because it's not all about the result. Results are milestones. You need milestones to get to know where to go next. You need that next place that you need to get to. But what matters most is that you find happiness in that journey, in that thing that you love doing every day. That's what matters most. And making sure you do it with the people that you also love being around. That, yeah, that's it.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Nick Humphreys, Train Effective. Go out, sign up, go onto the social media, join up this magnificent movement, be part of it, because it's here, and it's here to stay, and it's going to keep on growing. Nick Humphreys, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You are, my friend, an inspiration. And please congratulate all your team, because I know the team's important to you. I really do. And you're doing a fantastic thing for others. And it's credit to you, honestly, it really is. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Steve. And it's just, as I said, it's just, I really think it's like the start of things. So if anyone wants to connect on this journey, whether you're just starting out on your journey or you're halfway through it, whatever, my DMs are open on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on TikTok. My handle is at Nick Humph, NICKHUMPH. So if you're at the end of this, listen to this, and you want to drop me a message, have a question, or just really like the podcast or hated it, just drop me a message, because I always love talking to the community. So,
You're an inspiration. I'm going to say it again. You are an inspiration. I'm so pleased that you came on. And thanks for sharing with so many. Honestly, thank you so much indeed. And every success in the future. And whatever I can do, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there kind of supporting you with whatever I can do. Fantastic. We'll put all the information, your contact details, onto the podcast itself. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. I hope you get something from this today, because I know that there was just so much. Okay, take some of that advice, push it forward. You can do it. Anybody can do it. You've just got to have that dream, determination, and drive. Okay, Nick's done it. You can do it. Anyway, everybody, thanks for now. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye for now. Everyone, thank you for listening.
please send us your feedback on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, and don't forget to review us on your favorite podcast app.